This episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD. That's DFBPOD when you download to get 100% deposit bonus. This episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is also brought to you by No Halftime. Use the promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus to use the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or on Amazon.com. And with that, we're off. Welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Mark Roberts, and I'm the host of the season-long episode of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And tonight I'm joined by Daniel Green. Daniel, what's going on, my man?
Not much. It's good to be here. By the time Sunday hits and these shows, it's perfect timing because I'm just about to forget what season long is. So it brings me back into reality that I still have season long leagues I need to monitor, need to work with, and gives back some season long love as well.
Absolutely. Season long is still the best. I don't care what anyone says. All right. Well, so in this show, we're going to talk a little bit about the schedule, the upcoming schedule for week. Is it seven already? I believe that it's week seven here.
I think so.
So hopefully you're 6-0, or I guess most people don't play with wins, one win and one loss per week. I do play in a couple of leagues like that though.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's kind of interesting. It certainly makes punt strategies a little more effective, right? Because yeah. You just have to win 5-4 and you get it's the equivalent of winning like 9-0. So hopefully everyone's doing well. You took the good advice that we gave you and discarded the bad advice, but we're going to try to help you get ready for week seven. And also talk about some general players. And to kick that off, so the schedule is kind of interesting this week. One team has five games, which is always kind of a monkey wrench in the fantasy week. And to make matters even more complicated, that team is the Golden State Warriors, Dan.
Yep.
So play your Warriors this week is the takeaway there. And there is one team with two games this week. That's the Los Angeles Clippers. I think you're probably, I don't know, like with two game weeks, there's almost nobody who's good enough to play in two game weeks. But I actually think the Clippers, you probably just are going to have a crappy week and you still have to play most of your Clippers because like you're certainly still going to, in almost every case, still play Chris Paul. You'd be hard pressed to send out Blake Griffin, but you potentially could. And even though DeAndre Jordan isn't traditionally thought of as one of the best fantasy players, the chances are if you drafted him, as one of your best head-to-head players because he's good at what he's good at. And so if you look at like any sort of punt rankings, DeAndre Jordan is usually right near the top because you're punting field goal percentage and maybe assists or something. And then between his rebounds, his blocks, his field goal percentage, all those things. So I actually think even though if you looked at like our eight category rankings on our website and saw DeAndre Jordan was, I don't know right off the top of my head, but I would guess he's outside of the top 30 or 40. DeAndre Jordan is 67. I actually think you probably don't want to sit him in the majority of your head-to-head leagues.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if his stats kind of hold up, he's going to get you even in two games, 26 rebounds and 4 blocks. You know, so
it's hard to find that just on the waiver wire,
right?
Unless you can pick up like somebody with five games certainly helps. And the other thing I guess to be careful of with the Warriors, right, and their approach to the season is how many of those Warriors are actually going to play in all five games.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, they're I'm pretty sure all four games are on the road, and I think four are on the road. I don't know if all five are. I think at least four. And then I know they have two sets of back-to-backs as well. So
yeah, you got to think
the entire way the NBA is trending, you would think that
Four of the games are back to back.
Yeah.
Four of the five.
Correct. That's why I said two sets, right?
Yeah.
So
sorry, I was looking things up.
That's okay. So yeah, so I mean, just the way that the current NBA is trending, you would think that each one of the big four takes a game off. But
yeah.
Now, granted, will that happen in reality? Who knows? Because I mean, the Clippers. Well, I thought for sure the Clippers were going to rest CP3 one game on their long road trip, and Doc Rivers kept hinting at it. So I don't know if CP3 basically just said, "There's no way in hell I'm sitting, Doc. I'm going to play every game." You know, they did rest Blake Griffin one of those games, but I don't be surprised at all if most of those Warriors only get four games.
Well, and that, I think that brings up an interesting question for daily leagues, like who on their team, say Curry and Draymond and Clay sit out a game, or you know Durant and Curry sit a game. Like, I wonder who on their team you think would be worth sort of, I guess, streaming for some of those games.
Dude, it's weird, like, because like the one thing that does it is much different this year. If you watch Golden State, their bench was pretty crappy. They had a pretty solid bench this year. And the other difference is Iguodala has not looked the same. He's taken a step back. I don't know if it's just like it's the regular season, so he doesn't care as much, or he's finally just age is catching up with him. But he has his numbers and just production and just watching him play. It's all, you know, he's become a reverse Benjamin Button, which basically just means aging. I found out as someone pointed out to me on Twitter. But still, I mean, the guys I would look to are Iguodala. Livingston's another guy. He doesn't get as many minutes this year, but if a guy's resting, I think he could come back into play. You got, you know, Ian Clark, and then one other guy who I do think could give you, you know, talk about like a guy who could give you some blocks and also some bonehead plays, and that's JaVale McGee.
I would have to be pretty nervous to play into JaVale McGee.
Oh, you're always nervous. But I'm telling you, like he does a lot of good things when he's on the court. He does a lot of stupid ones too.
He's had some solid games. That's
Giving
credit. And the thing is, though, there's not been a circumstance this year. I'm trying to validate this. There hasn't been a circumstance this year where he's played more than 15 minutes. I think is his high. So any sort of rest or anything. Now he has had a couple of games. I think you're right. He hasn't had more than five rebounds in a game. But if you did need blocks, you were desperate for blocks, I suppose you could go with JaVale McGee.
So if they sit out like Draymond for a game, I bet you they rest that bum Zaza.
Zaza.
You know, JaVale becomes a really nice streaming option for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt keeps talking about how he wants to get him more minutes as well.
Really?
Yeah, dude, because think about it. What's like the one thing Golden State does need, you know, come playoff time, if they need anything? I mean, that would be rim. That would be
NBA players.
What's that?
Players who take their job seriously.
Well, that, but
your point is valid, and he has all the skills to do that.
But they do need someone who can protect the rim. So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
I just I've written off JaVale McGee as a serious NBA player.
Oh, I think we all have. I mean,
yeah,
it's the same. There's plenty of guys in the league that we've done that to this year who are actually giving production, like Michael Beasley. You know, that piece of crap we've written off numerous times.
And Nick Young?
Yeah. I mean, there's Deion Waiters. I mean, there's lots of guys, you know, who – Ersan Ilyasova. All these guys keep coming back from the dead. Fucking frickin' zombies, Mark. Frickin' zombies.
Indeed. Indeed.
Almost was my first swear word on the show. Caught myself.
you keep telling yourself that. All right. So here's a breakdown of games by day. Monday is a heavy day for games, 11 games on Monday. Wednesday is also heavy, 10 games. Friday has 9 games. Saturday has 10 games. So your key days for streaming really are the Tuesday, Thursday, Sundays, 6, 6 and 5 day game days. I'm trying to look and see if there are any teams that play. Okay, it looks like actually the Sixers and the T-Wolves play on all three of those days. So,
yep. So the key there, what's that?
Look at those. I was just gonna say, go look at those two teams. If you have limited pickups, you could potentially pick up somebody on the Sixers or Timberwolves on Monday, but plan to play them Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday when you're going to be light on games.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the key with Philly is just monitor news and see if Bayless and Covington are going to miss time. If they're out, then my boy Sergio Fernandez Rodriguez becomes a nice play, and then Dario Saric as well. He had a really good game.
He's had one good game finally.
Yeah,
So his last game, he had 21 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And before that, it was not so pretty. It's been a long time since. I guess he had one game a few games ago where he scored in double figures, but he's had a lot of 3-, 4-, 5-point games.
One of the main reasons is minutes. You just never getting him to over the 20-minute mark is like pulling teeth. It's like a root canal.
And you know what? I'm a little disappointed with Saric, and I know that Saric isn't the main topic here, but I really expected him to get more assists than he has. You hear all about his passing and what a good passer is. And then with Ben Simmons out potentially, and they don't really even have not that Ben Simmons is potentially out, but Ben Simmons potentially would have done a lot of the ball handling without a real point guard. I kind of always hope that Saric would step into that role. And he's had a couple of games where he has had like 3, 4, or 5 assists, but man, I think he's averaging like 2 or maybe 3 assists a game this season. I'm looking it up right now. Oh, exactly two a game. I expected that to be more in the 4 or 5 assists per game.
I mean, the one thing that I want to know from Philly is who's running things. Like, who's dictating minutes and who's dictating like who should play what position? Does Coach Brown really get to do that, or is it stupid management? Like, I would love to know who's in charge of that. Because like what they do to the minutes of those guys, I think it has been criminal for the last 3 to 4 years. It's just been so bizarre, and I like some things that Coach Brown does on the court, but like other things just don't make any sense. Like I just don't, I don't know how much of that is tanking and the trust the process crap, and how much of that is just they're just in basically how much is just Coach Brown is inept at his job, because it doesn't make sense.
The other interesting thing about Philly this week is not only do they play Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, they also play on Monday. So why that's interesting is because you could get them on a Monday, Tuesday back to back, and then keep them around for the low volume games. So, take a look for those Sixers, maybe Rodriguez, maybe Saric if you dare. The other teams that are on back to backs on Monday is Utah's on a back to back on Monday. And actually a pretty tasty matchup against the Lakers and Suns. Grizzlies are on a back-to-back. Washington's on a back-to-back. Spurs on a back-to-back. And the Bulls. Is there anybody – I know that's I throw a lot of teams at you there, Dan, and we're not going to be able to go through them all individually. Is there anybody that you would recommend sort of targeting as a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back from those teams?
I'm pretty sure you mentioned the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are, if you're playing DFS right now, you're locked into the Grizzlies, because it's all guys who are super cheap and playing tons of minutes because their entire roster is injured. So you have like the triple T's. You got Troy Allen, who's 75 years old, and you got Troy Daniels and Troy Williams, who are all
Tony Allen.
Oh yeah, what did I say, Troy?
That's okay.
Tony Allen, Troy Daniels, and Troy Williams, and I don't know if Andrew Harrison is still available in your leagues or not. He might have been snatched up when Conley went down, and then you even got Baldwin if you want another guy. I mean, there's minutes all over the place for that team.
Yeah, so a lot of interesting guys to stick on to keep track of there. The other guy I would mention from that team, from that bank of teams, is that I would want to maybe target is. Oh, I'm blanking on his name. The guy who's filling Trey Lyles. The guy who's filling.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
As long as Favors is out, that guy puts up pretty good stats. He shoots a lot of 3-pointers. Percentages aren't always going to be pretty there, but he's not shy. So once you put two games together of him, I think you'd be pretty happy with
it. Yeah, exactly. Two games. Because there's going to be a game and you look at the box, you're like, why did I pick up this bum? But then you got to wait it out. Like over the course of a few games, then you're like, oh, okay. This guy actually, because he doesn't do like just one thing really well. Like he's not going to get you 20 points or 10 rebounds. He's going to do like a little bit in each category.
Yeah.
Because he's like the little engine that could, Mark.
Absolutely. I think he'd be happy with that description.
Also, I guess Patty Mills, right? We should mention as well.
Sure. Tell us about Patty.
Well, I mean, Tony Parker's, you know, he's older than me and you combined in years. Sure. And if he sits out all the time, and therefore Patty Mills becomes a fantastic option.
Where does he rank on your handsome player list?
Patty Mills?
No, Tony Parker.
You know, it's weird, man. I never put him in the equation. He's like a sneaky handsome. Like, maybe he's just been around so long, I don't include him, but you're right. He is very handsome.
I feel like.
Yeah,
if there was one guy in the NBA, I mean, probably all of them, but like, you wouldn't want your girlfriend or wife or significant others to talk to, I would guess that it's Tony Parker.
Oh, I still think Batum is
Batum would be up there too.
Yeah. Batum, you know, because Batum's like, you know, yeah.
Chandler Parsons is probably out there pretty high.
If there's one guy I'd want to punch in the face, it'd be Chandler Parsons, though. Yeah, I hate him.
That's an interesting question. If there was one guy I could punch in the face.
Yeah, Chandler Parsons for me. Parsons for me.
Why? What's the hate for?
I loathe everything about him. And part of it is absolutely because I'm jealous. There's no doubt. That guy, yeah, he is super handsome. But I think he had like one decent stretch of basketball, and he makes a bazillion dollars. And he's gotten like two rich, disgusting contracts off like one half season of good basketball. Like, that's Dallas true. Paid him a ton, and now I don't know why Memphis shelled out that contract for him. Like,
do you remember the Memphis owner tweeting out the little baby throwing money out the window once he signed Conley and Parsons?
No, I don't. I do not.
He thought it was funny.
Oh yeah. Actually, I do. Yes.
And now I think it's getting even funnier. I want to just like retweet that every day.
let me ask you this: what's a worse contract? Is it Joakim Noah or the Parsons one?
So just to recap, Parsons is a max contract for 3 years, right?
Unbelievable.
Or is it longer? I can't remember. No, I'm actually asking. And I think Noah's is not a long-term contract, right?
Well, no, it is long-term. I think Noah's 3 years.
But it's not a maximum.
I mean, no, but hold on. Right. Mark, it's 4 years, $72 million for Noah.
I guess I would have to answer with Evan Turner.
That's a good contract. He's been balling lately. You don't watch – now you have 17 kids. You're not watching NBA basketball.
Absolutely.
He's looked fantastic last few games.
Yeah, it's going to take more than a few good games for me to be convinced
on that. And that's because that incompetent Terry Stotts doesn't use him right.
That might be true, but why sign a player to like an $80 million contract if you don't think that you know how to use him correctly?
Well, lately he's slowly getting more minutes, and his production's been coming up. So Parsons got 4 years and $94
million. Yeah. And the Blazers were offering him that same contract, and once he didn't take it, that's when they moved on Evan Turner. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, all right.
All right, well, let's jump into some rankings discussion. But first, Daniel, tell us about our friends over at Draft.
I would love to, Mark. So we already know you love fantasy, so we know you'll love playing fantasy on Draft. Draft is a simple daily fantasy app where you can do snake drafts, just like the ones you do at the beginning of your season-long league, which are probably the best part of our season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. It lasts for just one day, and they take only minutes to complete. On Draft, it's draft day every day. On Draft, you can play for free, or better yet, you can play for money. And get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So if you stink at DFS, Draft may be the game for you. Before the show, me and Mark did a head-to-head. I destroyed him last week when we did one for...
That isn't true, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I swear, I can bring up I can pull up the results later in the show.
I don't remember it that way.
I have the results right here. Hold on, let me pull them up. So I defeated Mark last week. It was here. Hold on. Sorry, guys.
This is riveting, by the way.
It will be once I reveal the scores. Oh, here it is. So I won 250 to 201. Just destroyed Mark. I had Westbrook put up 68. He had Steph Curry. I had Lowry. He had John Wall. They both had 43. I had Anthony. He had Durant. I had Millsap. He had Towns. And I had DeMarcus Cousins. You had Marc Gasol. Cousins at 68. So I destroyed you. Yeah. The judge wins. Anyway, but no, so we did a draft before the show, though. For tomorrow, and I took Westbrook with the number one pick, and I think it would be pretty common in these drafts. You took Harden with the number two pick, so we'll see who wins tomorrow. But so the way the drafts go, well,
I'm going to have the first pick. I think that's the key here for me.
Maybe,
but yeah. Go on. No,
so the way it works, I mean, the drafts are so easy to do, guys. You only pick five players. It's one point guard. It's two guards, two forwards, and one center. And the way the draft works is, if I got the first pick, Mark would then get the second and third pick. I'd get the fourth and fifth pick, and so on. So it's basically one pick, and then Mark gets two. I get two, and so on until it's done. It takes like a minute to complete. So join me and Mark. Download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download it, and you will get 100% bonus up to $600 when you deposit, which is a great deal. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD.
Excellent. And, you know, you can do drafts with more than just two people. So worth. And if you want to do a draft with Daniel or myself, let us know.
Yeah, my name on Draft is just The Judge. If you want it. So just once you sign up, send me an invite and we will do a draft together. And I will dominate you, just like I did to Mark F. Roberts.
Unfortunately for me, there's some weird laws apparently with my state of Idaho, and I can't play for money. But I would be happy to participate in a friendly competition for pride.
And come on, Idaho!
Yeah, come on, Idaho!
Pick things up. Let's get some potatoes, play some DFS, and play some draft.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump into some rankings discussion, Daniel. And I think maybe the most interesting place to talk about, and I think you rightly point out, is probably not relevant for, like, certainly for ads and drops or maybe trades even. But we're looking at the top of the rankings here on the website. And just as a reminder, there's rankings on our website. They update automatically every day. They're based on an algorithm that I developed. And so it's not like Daniel and I sit here and rank the players every day. And so Daniel, you kind of said to me, like, hey, do we really not have Westbrook number one or Harden?
Or Harden.
Yeah. We're looking at eight category rankings. Certainly if we went to the head-to-head rankings, let me just confirm that has not changed. Yeah. Westbrook and Harden certainly would be number one and two and a pretty significant gap to the next players. But in eight category rankings, which would basically be your rotisserie rankings, as amazing as it is, because Westbrook is averaging a triple-double with over 30 points per game, he's actually the fourth most valuable player right now in those leagues, which is, you know, I think there's a lot of things we could say about that, Daniel, but I guess the thing I would mostly say is what an awesome time to be an NBA fan, right? Like, Russell Westbrook's 30 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, 2 3-pointers, 1.7 steals is not even the best rotisserie season that's being had this season. And so it's first of all, I want to get your take on that. But second of all, like the season, I think people are a little bit sleeping on the season that Durant is having. Like, I guess I probably should give you his actual numbers, right? What I have in front of me is his projection for the rest of the season. But the percentages that he's shooting this season, let me pull that up really quickly.
Yeah, his efficiency is just through the roof.
Okay, this is Kevin Durant's line, our number one player right now. He is averaging 27 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.6 steals, and 1.8 blocks, which is really where a lot of that value, extra value, is coming from. And the stats that I've got up right now, let me pull up. I was looking at 2-point percentages, which is a weird league that I play in. All right, he's shooting 56% from the field and 87% from the line, going to the line 7 times a game. So if you got Durant, you've got a really good chance to win field goal percentage, free throw percentage, and blocks. Not to mention the categories that he's actually, like, normally really good at, you know, like points, 3-pointers, those type of things. But he's doing so much in pretty much every category that he's the number one player right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much more I can add other than, you know, he is probably getting overlooked just because of the pure, you know, triple-double numbers that Westbrook's putting up every night. And then Harden, you know, his numbers too have been pretty insane. And also, this is something that I think is legitimate. I think people are just sick and tired of Golden State.
Yeah.
I am.
I'm surprised at how little amount of buzz there has been about them this season, like, and excitement. They seem like such, like...
Well, I think it's, you know, I think after they got blown up by 20 or 30 in their first game.
Yeah, that was really deflating, I think.
But I don't know. I think it's Golden State fatigue. I think there are a lot of people who are pissed that Durant went there to begin with. And I think everyone is, you know, everyone does want them to fail at some level. So
here's the question. Because think about what would have happened if they would have blown out San Antonio. The excitement and like the microscope would have just gotten like closer and people would have watched them closer and closer, especially if they would have had any sort of winning streak. And certainly they're capable of blowing out the Spurs. Do you think there's any part of that was like evil genius by Steve Kerr to sort of deflate the whole season?
No.
It would be a pretty genius move though if he did it, right?
I think
if he was just like, we're going to make everyone look the other way for a little while and we're just going to get hammered this first game.
I think it was a genius move by Kawhi Leonard to have us all play him in DFS every night and have his best game ever and then like stink for a long period of time afterwards. I just think San Antonio was super. I mean, can you imagine how pumped up they were to play after like all the talk about Golden State?
Yeah, I'm. Yeah.
I know I root for them to lose every game.
Here's another one that's crazy. In the rankings, like it's just really a fun time to like a few years ago, if you didn't have LeBron or Durant, you were pretty much going to lose. It felt like those two were just such a notch above everybody else that if you didn't get one of those two guys, it was really difficult to compete. Anthony Davis, who's averaging 32 points, 12 rebounds, almost three blocks, almost two steals, shooting 51% from the field and 81% from the free throw line. He's fifth in our rankings.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched, Sunday.
Who are you going to put him above?
Yeah, no, on Sunday night I watched, you know, Westbrook, OKC played the Pelicans and Anthony Davis had a better game, quite honestly, than Westbrook did. But Grant, part of that is because Westbrook had 10 turnovers, which I know in an 8 category league doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. Anthony Davis was awesome. As long as he can stay healthy, which has been easier said than done for him, his numbers are just absurd.
You throw in Curry, and there are five guys that are better than like anybody that played between like the year 2000 and the year 2010 at fantasy. So it's been a lot of fun. And then just to give a little credit to our colleague Kyle McEwen, who was all about Giannis Antetokounmpo preseason. He's jumped up to sixth in our rankings, and he's having that fantastic season that he needed to have to jump up that high in the rankings. I was certainly not willing to bet on that, but it's been fun to see him get there and have that type of a season. So it's been a really fun fantasy season thus far. Agree? Disagree?
You wanted me to comment on that? Of course, yeah. Of course, it has been. Yeah, I think it's been a little bizarre on certain nights. You see some weird things happen. Especially, I'm coming from more of the DFS perspective. But no, I mean there's so many good players. You know, unless you live in like Dallas, Brooklyn, Memphis, Orlando, you know, you're probably it's couldn't be a better time to watch basketball or play fantasy.
And next season is going to be, I think, even more interesting because so apparently there's continues to be news about the CBA rollout. And one of the things we found out this week is that they're going to start the season like a couple of weeks earlier in an effort to totally eliminate back-to-backs.
Which is pretty crazy.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, like, I have to admit, like, last year I went to a game. It's just to be a fan, not talking about from a fantasy perspective, but I went to a game and Chris Paul was resting. And I bought a ticket and it felt sort of lame, right, to go. And I understand why they sit out. It makes logical sense, but it was stupid to go to a Clippers game and Chris Paul is just – he's healthy. He's a healthy scratch. You know, so I think it makes sense for their long-term viability of the product.
Yeah, no, the one thing that I don't – the one thing that's pretty telling is, like, we have actually an NBA commissioner that – pays attention to things like this, whereas an NFL commissioner, when you have guys literally killing themselves,
total idiot.
And they still do Sunday and Thursday games. Yeah. Or like, it's just like what they do with their schedule. And then you see in the NBA, you know, the second a concern rises up, they have like legitimate talks to try to, you know, do what they can to mitigate, you know, and you know, mitigate the playing back to backs and then to help, you know, help the players out.
From a fantasy perspective, it would be really awesome, especially season long, which is obviously what I predominantly play in. It would be really great if they could somehow figure out a way that everybody has like three games a week.
And then you, the key for me is going to be, how is Popovich going to still find a way to rest guys? He's still kind of got to find a way to nag at us and gnaw at us.
He's just going to choose the national TV games and have his players sit.
Yeah, he'll find a way. Let me also say this. You know what's really been annoying me lately? And that's Coach Bud from Atlanta. He thinks he's Popovich. Like, just because you coached with Popovich, you're not Popovich. Like, you see what he's been doing for Atlanta?
Tell us about it.
Well, he's basically just been benching. Like, he'll bench the entire starting five. He'll start, like, what he's doing with minutes is just crazy. Now, granted, Atlanta has been playing. I mean, they've been a disaster lately. They've been losing by 30 and 40 points. But he's treating his players like a high school team. Like, I don't remember another NBA coach that, like, you know, 2 minutes into a game is going to pull his whole starting five. You know, it's not surprising that the NBA players, who are, you know, all multimillionaires, aren't responding to that, you know? It's just like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, yeah. It's been super annoying to watch, especially because a lot of those guys I have, either in season long or DFS when you're playing.
Speaking of the Atlanta Hawks, this guy played for the Atlanta Hawks for a long time. I know you wanted to talk about him based on our rankings. This is Jeff Teague. To give you give you some perspective on what he's actually done this season, he's been the 33rd best player per game basis in 8 category leagues. He's averaged 15 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 1 three-pointer. He's shooting 42% from the field and a pretty regular for him, 86% from the free throw line. If you look in our 8 category rankings, Jeff Teague is currently the 25th best player projected for the rest of the season. Daniel, I think you have some thoughts about this and think that that might be a little too high.
Yeah, my thoughts on him, if you have him, sell high. Sell now. He's a guy, if you want to dump him now, I'm perfectly fine with it. If you can get something in return, that's pretty around that. What did we say he was?
He's performed about like in the top 30s this season, and right. I am at 20. Our ranking algorithm has him at 25th.
I mean, I would almost take, if you can get any top 30 player, I would probably take that guy over Teague, quite honestly, at this point. Now, Paul George coming back.
Paul reminds me of a few years ago when George Hill did so well and with Paul George out, but then the next season when Paul George came back, he went back to, you know, sort of normal George Hill.
Yeah, Paul George went out. If he missed, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 games. So Teague's usage rate went through the roof. Tonight, Paul George is back, and look at Teague's. Now it's just been one game, but look at Teague's numbers: 11 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 2 steals are nice on 10 shots. What's that?
I'm trying to look at players that maybe.
I'd much rather have CJ McCollum, or not much. I mean, I guess if you need assists, then you still want Teague.
Oladipo.
Oladipo's been coming on. He's a tremendous guy. I would love to have to meet some Oladipo.
Bledsoe.
He's been playing a lot better too. I'd prefer him over Teague.
Wade?
D Wade?
Yeah. Not about the line.
Wade would be tough just because, you know, I don't like the fact that he's already rested on these on a couple back to backs. Yeah, I think the line would be right around the, you know, quite honestly, D Wade, that's close.
That's close.
You can't ask me you can't ask me. I'm biased. I mean, he's my favorite player of all time, so I can't objectively respond to that, but
I agree though. I think that's about the line. But those other guys would be interesting. All right, Daniel, is there anybody else in our ranks you want to talk about?
You know, I think one guy, an interesting guy, is Trevor Booker.
Okay.
I mean, he's jumped since the last time we did our rankings. He jumped 72 spots. He's now 40th, or I guess he's projected to be 40th, right? The rest of the year.
The rest of the year, 40th.
And I gotta say, man, he's been
the 36th best player this season. He's averaging 10.5 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. That's where a lot of his value is coming from. And the fact that he shoots 54% from the field and 78% from the line. He makes an occasional three-pointer. He blocks about a half a shot per game. So he's had a really interesting season so far.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys. You're going to end of the night, you're going to look at the box score and be like, why, you know, why do I want to keep this guy? What are you guys talking about? But you got to wait till the whole week plays out and then you look at his numbers.
Exactly. But
it's not one particular thing that he's excelling at. I guess the steals would be, you know, to jump out a little bit, but like, yeah. I think he can relatively maintain this for the rest of the season.
To Brooklyn, your point, it's not like an especially a line that would really make you scratch your head and be like,
well, no. And look, basically he's doing that in like less than 30 minutes a night.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to continue right on that pace. He's always been a good fantasy point per minute guy. Even when he got time in Utah, I liked playing him. So like Brooklyn they have had some injuries too, but they need him to play like a lot of minutes each night.
Yep. Totally agree. Hey, I've got an idea as far as somebody. I think he's somebody you could use in no halftime challenges, actually. Because, again, his numbers don't look that impressive. I don't think he's that well-known of a player, but he's going to accumulate some stats. I think you could match him up in no halftime challenges against several different bigger-name players.
Yeah, people think he's like a bomb.
Serge Ibaka.
Serge's been playing well lately, dude.
Somebody like
Serge has been coming on strong. Monte Ellis,
yeah.
Attack Monte Ellis. You can attack.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different players that you could go on to no halftime. Pick up Trevor Booker. You could probably even go quite a bit farther down the rankings, and look for somebody who's a bigger name, basically.
Enes Kanter, attack that one.
Kanter, absolutely. Derrick Rose.
That would scare me a little. Yeah, that's it's a reasonable matchup. Although Rose has been playing actually pretty well lately.
Yeah. I actually think if you found somebody that's a big name like that, maybe Dwight Howard, and somebody would say, "How in the world is Booker going to score more points than Dwight Howard? I'm just going to take this person's money," and then you end up winning. So. Anyway, that's just a reminder. No Halftime is obviously a sponsor of the podcast, and so we want to make sure to specify that before we say anything. But it really is a fun place to go on. If you find one player that you think you can take advantage of, and you don't want to have to build a whole lineup around that player and hope everybody else plays well, if you want to take advantage either of a player that you think is undervalued or a player that you think is overvalued, it's probably the easiest and best way to isolate players, because you're playing in a challenge where you have one player, your competitor has one player, and you're literally just matched up one versus one. There's no salaries involved. There's no nothing. You just have to find somebody else, either your friends or anonymous people online who would engage in the challenge against you. So go check that out on No Halftime. Otherwise,
yeah, I think,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, while we're talking about Brooklyn, another guy who I think you can, if you want to sell high, now is going to be your moment. And that's Sean Kilpatrick. I mean, he jumped up 273 spots in our rankings up to number 72.
He's had a great season so far.
He's been tremendous, but when Jeremy Lin comes back, and the problem is we just don't know when that's going to be yet, but once you start hearing rumblings that he finally is going to come back, Kilpatrick, his numbers are going to come back down. Yeah. Like, he still might be okay, but he's not going to be doing what he's doing now, where his usage is off the charts. He has the green light to shoot whenever the heck he wants. So like, that's not going to sustain itself for the whole year.
Yep, totally agree. All right, Daniel, I think that about wraps it up for our season-long Week 7 Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It was good to talk fantasy hoops with you. If you have questions between now and next show, feel free to reach out to Daniel on Twitter at DanielGreen1.
Daniel A. Green 1.
Daniel A. Green 1.
That's right.
Or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. Don't forget to check out our sponsors Draft and No Halftime. And until next week, I hope you guys have great luck this week and have a lot of fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
Later, guys.